Welcome to another episode of A Minute Till Six. I'm your host, Mark Haynes, MH the Champ, along with my co-host, Chris Perry, Chris.PerrySR. And today we got a special guest on the phone, New York Knicks guard, Damian Dotson. How's it going, Dame, man? We appreciate you jumping on with us.
Man, I'm doing good, man. I got nothing but time. He's in the house.
Yeah, I think everybody got a little bit of time right now, man.
That's all I got, man. That's all we've been doing.
I've been checking out your social media, waiting on you to drop a dancing video or something.
Oh, nah. You ain't tip on them for me. There's a lot of other stuff I could be doing, but that ain't one.
Hey, and Damian, man. So with this, like you said, you guys got plenty of time on your hands now. Too much time for everybody. What was it like out in? Are you in New York right now?
No, I've been. I left New York like a week and a half ago. I'm back in Houston right now.
Okay. What was the atmosphere like out in New York? You know, being that was a big hotspot for the coronavirus and everything.
Yeah, when I was there, it was it hadn't got as bad. They didn't go on lockdown or anything. But like it was like as soon as I left, like they closed down one of the airports, and yeah, I left in perfect timing. But as far as the way it is now, it wasn't like that before I left. I'm
kind of
glad I got out of there when I did.
Right, definitely. And
yeah, I know. Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, being close to Brooklyn and everything, New York, all right there. When you first started hearing about it going around and circulating and stuff, did that make you nervous or anything, or were you kind of just cool about it?
See, when we got back from our last game, they kind of told us to stay in the house for like a week or like 7 days or something like that. So I did exactly what they told us. Check the temperature every day, wash your hands, make sure you're staying safe. And it was just me and my girl. So, I mean, if she was good, then I was good. So nobody came over or anything like that. So we just stayed in the house for a couple of days. And then when the time came, they told us we can go home. I just came back to Houston. And everything is lower here, so there's not that many cases here. Like, not everybody's just walking around with it. So,
right.
I feel way safer here.
That's what's up.
Nice. Yeah, I was curious about, like you said, you kind of missed the wave of everything that really happened in New York. But what about your initial reaction when you saw, like, the Rudy Gobert situation and they shut the NBA down?
Oh man, we was in a game. We was playing the Hawks, and at halftime they came out and said Rudy Gobert had it. So we finished the game, but like towards the fourth quarter we went to overtime, and they was like, man, the season's canceled, the season's suspended. So we just finished the game out. That's when Vince Carter came in and shot that three.
So we just finished the game out,
and then after that it was like the season canceled. So it was kind of like, it's crazy, like, what's about to happen next? And then, like, the GM and all that came in and was telling us what was going on. So, that was that. But we was all like, what's going on during the game? Should we still play? Should we just stop? It was crazy.
Right.
Oh, wow.
Right.
Well, so y'all found out in the middle of the game and still was like, okay, what now?
Yeah, that was still playing, man. It was like, just finished the game up. And then Vince Carter subbed in. Like towards the end of the overtime, we was about to win. Vince Carter subbed in and he made his shot. And I seen him say something recently, like that's his last shot or something like that. I think if they come back, he's not playing again.
Man, yeah, because it'll be what they're talking about in the summer now, right?
I heard all types of stuff. I heard Christmas. I heard July.
Come back Christmas
and just have an extra long season. They say come back, just play on Christmas and finish in June.
Wow,
that's what I heard. But I don't know.
Oh my
is.
God,
that sounds crazy,
right? It's like for is that, it's like, is that your, still your year three, or is that four now?
Man, honestly, I don't know. This is stopping up free agency, everything. So
yeah,
what's going on right now?
Yeah. All right, so you know, we're gonna get off the coronavirus for now. You know, hopefully everybody out there staying safe and stuff. And you know, what we like to do when we got guests on, we like to start somewhat at the beginning of your basketball career. So we want to go back to when you was a freshman in college. You went to start off at the University of Oregon.
Yeah.
How'd you like it out in Oregon? I've been there like twice. It's so green. It's just like too green for me. It's green everywhere.
Yeah, honestly, man, it was a culture shock for me because I was coming from Houston, big city.
Yeah.
You know, my first year in college, I go to Oregon, Eugene, Oregon. It's like a small college. It was a big college town because the school is so big and have so many students, but kind of a small city town. Eugene, everybody knows each other. It's like one Walmart. You know what I mean? Like one Target. So you go there, you see everybody. Not that many restaurants. But it's a great college town. There's a lot of support there. I mean, I had the best 2 years of my life, my freshman and sophomore year. I had a great time. You know what I mean? Just a college experience. Even a home game, road game, stuff like that. Football games was crazy. All the facilities was crazy. Summertime, you get all four seasons. So it was just, man, it was a great experience for me, especially coming from Houston. Only seeing like one culture. So it was a good culture shock for me.
Yes, sir. Yeah, definitely. That's what it was. It was a culture shock for me, and it was just felt like, especially on campus, with the Dutch campus, everything's green and yellow, and the grass, the trees, it ain't no grass nowhere.
To get to a point where every car you see got like a duck on it, or like a in the college town, and once you move out of that town, you see Oregon still. So it's like they like the trailblazers. You know what I mean? They're like right behind the Trailblazers.
Yeah.
If you're not a fan of the Trailblazers, you're a fan of the
Ducks. Right, for sure. I went to that national championship game with Oregon and Auburn, Cam Newton and them. And we had a guy from Fresno playing in the game, so I was there. And that was my first, like, interaction with the Oregon crowd. And like you said, it was culture shock, but everybody was so cool. Everybody was so real and down to earth, and it was one of the best fans I've ever been around. And I've been to a lot of different, you know, arenas and stadiums and stuff, but Oregon, definitely, their fan base is one of the best for sure, man.
Yeah, especially, when I was there, it was a football, but my freshman year, we went to the Sweet 16, so that kind of, the basketball fans picked up, kind of like both. So they had the campus jumping, really, they had the campus on fire because the football team was good. The basketball team was good. The baseball team, the softball team, the track team. You know what I mean? So everybody's really like one big family, and we was all winning games and stuff like that. So it was a great experience. So that time, it was like it was super fun.
Mm-hmm.
Like when nobody had something, they might have a get together or something like that. But it was a lot going on because everybody was in a good mood because we was winning. So it was kind of fun.
For sure. And then from Oregon, for your junior and senior year, you transferred over back home to Houston. What was that like? What was that like, man?
It was kind of like a refocus thing because I got into an incident at Oregon and had stopped me for a year. So when I got to Houston, it was kind of like a refocus thing. Like, I need to get back on track. I just need to get what I need to get done here. And try to get to the next level. So that was my whole focus. When I wasn't doing nothing but going to the gym, working out. That was my main priority in class. That was it. Staying out of trouble, really. I was focused on my future and whatever I wanted to do next.
At that time, were you already confident that you would be playing in the NBA at that time?
Honestly, I didn't know, but I know, like, if I put the work in, I end up playing somewhere. You know what I mean? If it was overseas,
right?
G League, whatever. So
right.
I knew it was something. It was something next for me. I didn't know what it was, but I knew I had a future with playing ball. If I didn't get hurt, if I stayed healthy and stayed on the right path, I knew something was next. I didn't know exactly what it was, but I knew it was. I knew I had a future with basketball.
Right. Right. Okay, so, I mean, clearly you definitely did what you had to do in Houston, and you got drafted, man. So what was your draft like? You got drafted to the New York Knicks. You want to go ahead and tell the fans about that process for you, and what was your draft night story? Everybody has a story.
Oh, man, I probably had the longest draft process. Right after the NIT, I had a couple weeks to work out or whatever. I had to go straight to Portsmouth. So I went to the Portsmouth Invitational, and it's the top 5 guys, the top 10 guys. I don't know, it's one of those. But if you get, first team or something, all that, you get an automatic invite to the NBA Combine. So I ended up going. I went to Portsmouth. My team won a championship. I won the MVP on that team. So that's like an automatic. That's an automatic hit to the combine. So you automatically get to go to the combine if you get MVP at the Portsmouth. So that was the whole goal. That was our first step. That was the first step with me and Gasto and Chris Patrick. That was our first step. So it's kind of like you got to go here. You got to work hard. Get to the Portsmouth. Do what you got to do in the Portsmouth. Get to the combine. Do your thing in the combine. Go to all these workouts. I had 15 workouts. You know what I mean? So I was really grinding. I was eating right. I was sleeping, man. I was locked in, man, because that's what I wanted. And I still didn't know. I didn't know what was gonna happen. I killed every workout. I did my best in every workout. I shot the ball well. You know what I mean? So as I'm going through these workouts, my stock's getting rising. So they like, man, he might be early second round, late second round. He should be early first round, but blah, blah, blah. You know how it goes.
Right,
so,
right.
Yeah, so it was kind of like, you just keep going. And then, like, I think the day before, no, the morning of the draft, I went to the draft. I flew to New York, took my mom, my grandma, my girl, my brother. We flew to New York, and on the draft day, man, that morning, they called me. Guys on them called me and was like, the Knicks going to take you at 44. I'm like, the draft hasn't even started yet, man. What y'all mean?
Oh, wow.
I'm in New York, and they called me like, yo, the Knicks going to take you at 44. I'm just like, nah, I don't believe that. I got to see it. You know what I mean?
Right.
So now I'm nervous. Now I'm nervous, like, damn. I'm like, damn, it's 44. I'm like, yo, this is crazy. So I didn't say nothing. I think I told my mom something, but I kind of kept it to myself because I ain't want to jinx it.
Yeah.
So I watched the whole first. We watched like half of the first round at a restaurant. I see Fox get drafted. A couple dudes I know get drafted. I'm like, man, what's gonna happen next? So towards the end of the first round, we head over to Barclays. I get to Barclays. They see me. So around like 40th pick, I'm just like, man, that Knicks had 44, the Rockets had 43 and 45. So when pick 42 come around, the cameras come by me, and there's like 43. I'm like, oh shit, I'm going to Houston. 43, I'm going home. I'm going staying home. So I'm like, yo, this can't be real. So 43 comes, it's a dude sitting right next to me. I forget who it was, who they drafted, but it was a dude sitting right next to me. And then 44 pick comes. The camera come right in the aisle I was in, man. And it was like Danny and Dotson. I was like, oh man, this is crazy.
Wow.
My mom stood up, my grandma stood up, my agent stood up, everybody stood up. I was just like, man, this is a dream come true. I walked down, walked to the stage, I see Gasto, he was Fox, hugged Gasto, talked to him and walked on stage, man. I couldn't believe it, bro. It was the best experience of my life. Like God, like it was the moment, like, I just had to thank God for everything I had been through at the time up until now. It was an amazing experience.
Yes, sir. Nah, that's dope, man.
Combination of the grind, man.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, that was definitely, it was a path because it was, like, a couple months of just, like, straight grind, locking in, and getting better every day, just with everything I'm doing. Like, it was a focus thing. A lot of, you know what I mean? It's a lot of people that can only focus for so long.
Right.
Because, you know what I mean? Because of instant gratification. But sometimes you gotta focus for the long haul. That's the best thing for you.
And when you're sitting there watching the draft and you're seeing a bunch of guys, go ahead. Well, not a bunch, but the first round go, and then once the second round started, did you see like names? You ain't got to say no names or anything, but did you see names that you were like in your head? I know I'm better than that dude.
Yeah, you know it is, but like I'm like the person I am, though. I don't have no hate in my heart, but at the same time, it's some real, you got to be realistic, like. You got to know, like, yo, I'm better than this guy. Because some guys that they got drafted, that's like, you know what I mean, that's still, like, trying to find their way. So, I don't know, it could have been the best situation for me. And it's different, like, you know what I mean, different opportunities for different people. So, you know what I mean, so it's a little different.
Right, right.
And, like, the guys that went in front of me, it's kind of like, you know what I mean, it is what it is. Big is up to those guys. And, they got a future behind them. But, like, it wasn't that many people in front of you. Like, most of the guys that went was always high on the draft board anyway. And I was playing their game.
Right. And then you end up, like say, picked up by the Knicks, second round, number 44th pick of the second round. What were you thinking, going into, New York City, the Big Apple? Like, were you excited? That's definitely different from Houston and Oregon. So this is a whole nother animal.
It was crazy though. I had been to New York like two times before that. And when I flew in, the craziest thing was like, man, I was like, bro, I don't want to go to New York. I don't want to play for New York. And it wasn't because of the Knicks. It was crazy though, because it was kind of like more of like the city, like just walking around. And I was like, man, this is too much for me, bro. I wouldn't want to play here. And next thing you know, I'm getting drafted by them. I haven't really told that many people that, but, like, that was kind of true. I had told my people, I was like, man, I don't know. I want to play here. It's kind of too much going on.
Right. Like, yeah, when you get out there in New York, nobody drives. So I always wonder, I'm like, do you buy a nice car in New York or what?
My first year, for like majority of the time, I was like catching the train, catching the Uber. And I had got a little car. It was how they do, like I rented it out with this dude. He just wanted like tickets every other month or something like that, like a little deal. It was one of those things, and like promotion and stuff like that, like you do all the time. So I had that car until the end of the season. Then my second year, I just went ahead and bought a Jeep Grand Cherokee. Good on miles, you know what I mean? Because you don't really need a nice car in New York, because once you get to the city, you're going to be in traffic. There's a bunch of high holes and stuff like that. So I got an all-black Jeep. I just ride that to the gym, to the where I need to go, to the games, whatever. It is what it is. A lot of people don't have a license or a car.
That's crazy.
There's a lot of people that don't have a car or a license. They just catch the train.
They pretty much spend the car payment on the trains and stuff like that as it is. So it's the same thing.
Yeah. If you stay in the city, you're like Georgia. Don't have a car because it's funny. And then parking is like $60 a day. Parking is crazy. Like 2-3 hours in a parking garage in New York, you're going to spend like $60.
Golly.
Yeah.
The Bay Area probably.
That's one thing that's crazy. I'm in Houston right now. You pull up somewhere, you got to park or some little parking lot, it's like $10. You go to New York, it's probably like $60, $50. It's crazy.
God.
Just to park. Then you got to pay for eat wherever you're going. Stuff add up.
Yeah, I'm in San Francisco, man.
And they already hitting you across the head with the taxes.
I'm going through the same thing, man. I'm going through the same thing in San Francisco. Well, that park in San Francisco.
You're in Brooklyn?
I'm in SF, San Francisco. It's the same deal up over there, man.
San Francisco, yeah. I spent a little time in San Francisco too. I had one of my teammates from Oregon, Dominique Artis. I hung out with him a little bit in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
He's out there too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Helen. So you said you didn't want to. It wasn't because of the team that you didn't want to move to New York. It was because of the city. But what was your impression of the team?
At the time, I knew they had Melo, Courtney Lee, guys that I watched play. You know what I mean? Like Courtney Lee was a guy I was trying to model my game after coming into the league. Anyway, a shooter,
I see that.
Yeah, you know what I mean? So I knew, I was like, okay, they got Courtney, Porzingis. I was like, man, we're gonna be all right. And I seen they signed Mike Beasley, Jared Jack. They had signed Tim Hardaway. I was like, man, all right, so we're gonna be all right, we're gonna be decent. Ennis camp, I mean, Ennis got traded there. So, yeah, we had a couple guys there. I was like, man, I look forward to playing with them. But, I didn't know, you know what I mean? I was coming from college. I didn't know the NBA life or anything. I just heard about it. So, Summer League came around, played pretty good in Summer League. But me getting drafted there, it wasn't because of the team. And I didn't really know the city like that, but I just know what I seen when I walked around. I was like, I don't know how I want to play here. Because I'm thinking I had to stay in the city the whole time.
Yeah. That's what I, like, when I think of New York, period, like, with, you know, every off season, it's like, they be like, oh, the big free agents is going to New York because, you know, New York always got money. And no offense, Dad, I'm pulling for you. But I'll be like, man, don't anybody want to go to New York? It's not about the team at all. It's just the city, man. It's like, it's expensive. It's crowded. It's now the coronavirus is all over. it's just like so much going on. It's like, you know, I don't think high status, you know, individuals want to actually live there. But like you said, you can't live on the outskirts of it. No, nobody want to be in that city.
Yeah, for me, I'm staying on the outskirts. I'm staying young. I'm not in the city unless I'm going to the game or getting something to eat. So, I don't really get in the city like that, man. The city is hectic. There's always construction going on. There's always something going on.
Right. So then
as far as like the free agency stuff, I don't know, man. You know, we always in the talk, so any good free agency. New York is on the list. No, I mean, because you got to consider the Knicks one of the biggest organizations in the NBA. You know what I mean? One of the biggest markets. You got to consider them. Can't count them out.
Yeah. For sure. I mean, they're going to land somebody. Y'all going to land somebody eventually. And yeah. I can't wait till the Knicks is, you know, back, you know, y'all back in the playoffs and everything and running. But then you started playing. You started playing your rookie season. I wanted to bring you back to your career high game. You put up 30 and 11, I think it was. When you get it going like that, is it, you know, because you came off the bench as well. When you get it going like that, did your teammates just say we gonna keep feeding the hot hand, or you know how that 30-point eruption start?
Man, I think I hit some shots early, and I had it going, but the crazy thing is though I had like 20. I told Hornacek, I was like, man, I'm tired, take me out. He's like, hell no, I ain't taking you out. I'm not taking you out right now. You got to stay in. I was like, man, I'm tired. Everybody on the bench is like, nah, you got to stay in. But now I had hit some shots early. Got it going a little bit. And Frank Ntilikina, that's like my, you know what I mean, we've been here the longest together, so we both rookies together. So he seen I got hot. He was just looking for me every time he come down the court. And I was watching him, you know what I mean? I was trying to get open. He was just looking for me the whole time. Him and Courtney Lee. So I had it going. You know what I mean? Everything was seeing a fall in that game. I've had games like that before in college.
Mm-hmm.
Going in America. MSG is a little different. It's a little more electrifying.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I was just going slow, man. We weren't running no plays or nothing. We were just moving. It was getting it in. You weren't running no plays or nothing. It was just coming off fast break or like just open shots. It was really a rhythm.
Yeah, that's raw.
Like it was yesterday.
When you hoop, man, you got them zones. When you get in that zone and everything's falling, you feel invincible, man. It feels like you got goosebumps on your arms, and you're just like, bro, you can't miss.
And it's different. It's different in the garden too. You get high in the garden, bro. It's like you playing. You know what I mean? It ain't no telling what the next shot you might hit.
Yeah.
Crazy.
NBA Jam, he's on fire.
I've seen a lot of people get high in the garden, man, and hit some crazy shots. Like crazy. I don't know. It's kind of like, it's almost like that feel, like you feel invincible when you hitting shots in the garden. You can pull up from anywhere. I just seen KP get high. I just seen Porzingis shoot from half court. It's like crazy.
Yeah, we're gonna have to measure them rims over there or something, man. Cause at MSG, that's where it always happens.
Yeah, I think Mike Beasley go for like 30, but I miss him. Like James Harden went for 60. That's the crazy stuff in there.
Melo went digging there too, man.
Like you said, you had Melo, you had Porzingis. You see these guys going off, man. Is there anybody that you had like a favorite player growing up?
Oh man, yeah, my favorite player growing up, or me being from Houston, watching the Rockets, it was definitely Tracy McGrady.
Yes, sir.
Nice. Tracy McGrady and Joe Johnson was main two for me. Joe Johnson and Tracy McGrady. Just the way they can get a bucket. You know what I mean?
Right.
Themselves just ISO. That was two of my favorite players.
Joe, a dog, man. I feel like Joe was underrated for his whole career, man. I feel like he never did. Get the amount of love that he should have gotten, but he was a bucket for sure, man.
Joe Johnson and Tracy McGrady, yo, that was my man. So Tracy McGrady, just because he was in the city, me growing up watching the Rockets all the time. Him and Yao Ming, I couldn't model my game after Yao Ming, but they were some of my favorite players.
Yeah, and that was I remember back in matter of fact, we were talking to Bobby Jackson about it when T-Mac and all of them was there, and they went on that 22-game win streak. I know the city was going crazy.
City on fire. They had the city on fire. I remember that. And my mom, she's a big Rockets fan, so we watch every game.
So whenever you go back and play in Houston, the whole family out.
Yeah, the whole family out. Actually, the first time I stepped foot in Toyota Center, bro, to play, I kind of dropped a tear. Like, pregame, I was like, man, I watched the Toyota Center on TV so many times, I finally got a chance to play. It was crazy.
And then I'm going to go to another favorite. Out of all the guys you done played with, like you said, play with Melo, Porzingis, you know, Courtney Lee.
I never played with Melo though.
Oh yeah, Melo gone.
That year I came, he left and went to OKC.
Got you.
My first year, he went to OKC. Yeah.
Got you. Okay, so you barely missed him. But out of all the guys you played with this far in your career, who would you consider your favorite teammate, and why?
Favorite teammate?
Yeah.
Man, I had a couple, man. You know, I used to tell me teammates since I've been in New York. I can give you a favorite teammate from like every team. All my 3 years, you know. I had a different team every year.
Hold on, let's pause on that question real quick. Like, let me ask you about that. Like, what is it like, you know, going into, you know, each different season, you kind of expect it. I assume that it's going to be almost a different team almost, you know, every year.
Yeah, like, you're going to have at least 10 new guys. Well, since I've been here, I have like 9 or 10 new guys. So I can go my rookie year. My favorite teammate, of course, was Jerry Jack, just because
the way he, you know what I mean, the way his leadership was. He's the older guy, older vet. He made sure I was straight. He always looked out for me. The whole year he looked out for me. So that was definitely one of my favorite teammates. I talked to him still today. Him and Courtney Lee, they both looked out for me my rookie year. So I definitely, I would say him for my rookie year. And my second year was Lance Thomas. He was the OG. He was a vet. He looked out for me for sure. And both of these years, Frank also, because that's like we came in together.
Right.
Like that's more. That's more of my brother than a teammate.
Yeah.
We came in together. We've been together the longest. Lance Thomas, my second year, and then this year, I had a couple guys: Bobby Portis. I was cool with Julius, EP. But we were still going. You know what I mean? We had 17 more games. So I don't know what they're going to do with that, but definitely Bobby, CP, and Julius, my main guys. Lonzo, I was really cool with everybody. Lonzo, Frank, of course. Really everybody. That team, this team we got this year, man, everybody was real cool.
I'd have had about
30, 35 teammates, though. since I've been in the league, I know at least like 50 dudes in the NBA. I played with you. We played together.
Right.
Oh my god.
And I only been on one team.
I ain't
traded or nothing.
But you also you've also cycled through coaches, man.
Yep. I'd had three head coaches.
God.
So is there a coach that you like the most? Or actually, you know, a lot of question marks was around the whole Fizdale situation.
See, you know, what I'm going to say is, like, I didn't have time to get to know them. You know what I mean?
Once a year,
a couple months, cool. Like, you know what I mean? You get experience. But you got to see these teams that got, like, the coach been there 10 years.
Yeah.
5 years, 6 years. You know what I mean? Kind of like. Like, it's hard to say Popovich because he's been there forever. Like the dad, Snyder. You know what I mean? Like they know him. Like, they've been
there. Right.
Like, you could say, like, Steve Kerr. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, they got culture. They got culture set already. And it's hard to get guys committed if we get, like, new coaching changes every year. But at the same time, you got to do your job. You got to respect what they got going on. And eventually, it'll work out. But it's kind of tough getting relationships with coaches. I feel like it takes more than a year. You got to go through the ups and downs. You got to go through winning. You got to go through losing. You got to experience everything and come back and win. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's kind of like it takes a while. But I feel like we're on the path to fixing all that, man. And, you know what I mean? Finding that culture and winning some games and getting the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's for sure. And your draft brother, Frank. It's Frank Nittle-Kina, right?
Frank Nittle-Kina.
Nittle-Kina. All right. Do you remember the game with him and LeBron? It was LeBron and more Enos, but. Do you remember that play and how? I'm sure you know. You remember it. It's all over the internet. What was your
thing? Honestly, that was already predetermined. so we was in the locker room before everybody was hyping them up, like the vets was hyping them up, like, and you know it's Brian, dude, blah blah blah, and this you got to push him or something. You got to get him off here. When it happened. So when it happened, it was kind of like. We already knew it was going to happen, but we didn't think Frank was going to actually do it. We didn't think he was going to actually do it. So when he did it, it was kind of like, they had the whole crowd going crazy. They had the garden going nuts. I still remember that. And then Ennis went over there and pushed him. Yeah, it was all, I feel like that was all planned, though. It was funny at the time. Frank was like 17, 18. He didn't know what. He didn't know what we were talking about. He didn't know what that was going to lead to. But he did it anyway, though, so. So you got a little Frank, though. Frank, man, he's fearless, bro. He don't care about, no, I mean, he don't care who got the ball. He don't care who he guards. He's fearless.
Yeah, no, that's what him, man. Him on the defensive end, man, he's a beast.
Oh, man. Nah, he different. He different on the defensive end.
He different.
I haven't seen that. I ain't seen that like it. I see them locking dudes up, man.
Yeah.
Put them in a box. They can't that's when he helps. Oh man, it's a problem.
Yeah. And Wingspan is out of this world.
You say what?
I said his wingspan is out of this world, man. I mean, how do you get around that?
His wingspan is crazy. Like 7 foot.
Man, that's crazy, man. And then, man, we ain't going to hold you too much longer, man. But definitely before you get out of here, we gotta get you on this, on your Mount Rushmore. I seen, recently earlier this week, Trae Young put out a top five I'm only asking four. We only want four, but, did you see the list? Yeah, did you see the list, Trae?
You only want four?
Yeah.
You only want four?
Unless you want to do five. Matter of fact, you can do five. Do five.
Five. Mount Rushmore. For me, man, that's tough. of course, Jordan. I think Jordan is the greatest of all time. Of course, Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
I would have to go with LeBron. Jordan, LeBron. Kobe, of course. The five man.
It's gonna get tricky.
I'm Houston, man, so I'm a little biased. I would have to go Olajuwon.
The King?
I'm a little biased. So I put a King up there. I never seen Will Chamberlain play. I still haven't seen a Will Chamberlain highlight. I go with Hakeem, Mike Jordan, Kobe, LeBron. Who else? That's four right there.
The fifth
had to be a absolutely untouchable point guard, I would say. That's tough. Man. Mount Rushmore five.
Lakers.
Magic Johnson. Let y'all give me that. Man, I don't know. I love Magic, though. I love his game. I probably would go with Magic at the point. You know, that team right there is like unstoppable.
Yeah,
that team right there. They go 82-0 for sure.
Yeah, I'd say that team right there is definitely. I like yours much better than Trae Young's.
What's Trae Young? What do you think?
He had Jordan, Kobe, LeBron. His big was Wilt, but the biggest.
That man ain't here. He never seen Wilt Chamberlain play a damn.
The biggest.
I promise you that.
His the point guard.
The point guard.
Steve Nash.
Yeah.
Steve Nash.
Yeah.
I was thinking Steve Nash too, though. Steve Nash hard.
Oh, you too, huh? All right.
That team right there, he gonna run that whole thing. He gonna have like 20 assists.
Now I'm trying to make sure I got Trae list right.
But not Steve Nash. I go Magic for sure.
Yeah, I'm like, you can't put Steve over Magic over.
Yeah.
Over who? Man, the I ain't gonna say the list goes on because, you know, Steve Nash, like you said, he was a beast, true Hall of Famer.
Nah,
right?
The list definitely go on. You got a couple points on it in there that was pretty good.
Goodness, yeah. That was the first time I ever seen him on the, Mount Rushmore top five list.
But Hakeem Olajuwon, that's my big right there.
I think he's underrated. I think he's super underrated. Like he's the skill set for a big man.
Hakeem is the dream. He's not underrated, man. Everybody knows who Hakeem Olajuwon is. Hakeem is not underrated. They know who he is, man.
They know who he is. When we talk about the greatest of all time, top five, you know, a lot of people leave Hakeem off, which I'm like, man, he should be up there. That's what Trae said. Kareem, he had Kareem up there.
I can see that too.
That's who it was.
Hakeem, that's just me though. Me being from Houston and the dream team and all that, man. I can say him.
Hey, I ain't mad at you, bro. I ain't mad at you.
I gotta ask you, man. Have you been during your coronation? Is what I've been calling it. Have you been on the video game?
Say it again.
Like everybody else.
Oh man, that's all I do. I've been playing 2K crazy. I don't really play anything else. But they paying guys right now, man, on Twitch. So I have to definitely jump on. But I've been on 2K a lot, and I got to get a laptop so I can stream from Twitch. So I'm waiting on Apple to open because Apple closed right now.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's what we're gonna have to get this NBA 2K league going since we ain't gonna have no basketball, man. Well, they're talking about
all the games that we got. They taking one guy from each team. So we play the Timberwolves. You get one guy from the Knicks, one guy from the Timberwolves. Play that game. You know what I mean? Do it that way.
Yeah, that'd be nice. And stream it for everybody. That'd be dope.
That'll get some streaming. That'll get some views. Put it on ESPN. That'll get some views.
So you have to have an internal 2K tournament. So are you saying that if this does happen, you're coming out as the Knicks representative?
Oh, no, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm the Knicks. I'm the go-to guy.
Who's going to win?
Ain't no challenges, huh?
Everybody know that. I'm the go-to guy, so if we had to play somebody on 2K, they definitely come to pick me up. I'm the number one. I'm the number one.
All right, man. Well, we're going to let you get up out of here, man. If you want to shout out your Instagram handle and everything like that, where everybody can find you.
Most definitely, man. I appreciate y'all, man. But my Instagram name is @wholeteam.dot. It's real simple. That's my Instagram name. That's my Twitter name. So you can follow me on there. That's my PSN, PlayStation, all that.
All right.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go ahead and add you on the PlayStation Network, man.
Yeah, it's just whole team got. I don't know. I got a lot of friend requests, though, so it might be hard to request me. A lot of people have been saying it's hard to request me right now, so I probably got to delete some friend requests and stuff like that, but I definitely probably give me a couple of days, so it'll be easier to add.
I just inbox you my gamer tag, man.
Yeah, just inbox it to me, man.
For sure. And yeah, thank you again. We appreciate you, man. And can't wait to get this NBA season back rocking if it ever comes back, man. We need it. And if not, you know, so it's definitely gonna be looking forward to that 2K tournament or season or however they gonna do it, or you know, hopefully they do it. But,
yep, definitely. That's, man, we trying to get our job back, man. That's it. Just trying to work again.
Yes, sir, man. Hopefully we can get you back on.
Sounds good, man. I appreciate y'all, though.
All right. And thank y'all for tuning in. Thank y'all for tuning in. This is Mark Haynes. You can find me at MH the Champ, along with my co-host,
Chris Perry. You can find me at chris.perrysr.
And it's a minute till 6, and we out.
Peace.